Let us still our hearts in God's presence this morning. Let us all unite together in prayer. Our gracious, eternal, loving Father in heaven, we bow in thy sacred presence this morning, in the precious and lovely and adorable name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the access that we have to the throne of grace. We thank thee that the veil has been rent from top to bottom. We have this abundant entrance into thy presence through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the sacrifice that the Savior made on Calvary's cross for our redemption. As we come this morning, we rejoice in that redemptive work. We rejoice that Calvary covers it all. The past with its sin and shame, Jesus laid on him there, and Calvary covers it all. We rejoice for the atoning blood. And we thank thee, O God, that it cleanses from all sin. And Father, we pray this morning for thy presence here in this house. We pray to meet with us. We pray that you'll sanctify this time together. Pray to meet with those who cannot be here but are listening in this day. That will bless them too. Encourage them and help them. Remember, our God, those today who have sorrow in their hearts, we pray for comfort. Think of the Hannah family. Remember this loss that they've had again. We pray for comfort. And Lord, for the family today, in the loss of another loved one, thou wilt draw near, O God, we pray, with thy peace and with thy presence. We pray for those that are ill today. Remember our dear sister Mary, she whom thou lovest is sick. We lift her up to thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt put thy tender and loving and blessed arms around her. We say, thy will be done, thy perfect will. This concerns her today. Help her family, her husband, her daughters, her son, and all the family. May they know thy presence at this time. We pray, Father, and remember our dear sister Nessie as she returns back to her own home tomorrow. We pray that thou wilt be with her. Thou wilt continue to comfort her, and her son-in-law, and the children, and all the family. May thy presence go with them too. And for others, O God, in our midst who are facing surgery or procedures this week, or in days to come, that thou wilt be with them, Lord, and bless them, that thou wilt grant them to know that the Lord is the healer, and thy touch. And for those yet not able to be out with various sicknesses or just the issues that we're facing with and have been facing in the past years, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with them, and that thou wilt bless them, and that, Lord, thou wilt draw near to them, and grant, Lord, that they may know a special sense of thy presence too. Remember our land and all its need, Lord. We pray for thine intervention. We pray that thou wilt come across this land with a mighty Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival, and that thou wilt breathe upon our nation, the nations of the world at this time. Remember our brethren and sisters in Ukraine especially, the believers in Russia too, and all those that are going through turmoil at this time. We pray, O God, that thou wilt remember them and help them. Protect, Lord, thy people. And Lord, help the churches. We thank you for those who are getting aid out to people that are needy and bringing them in and giving them refuge. We pray that thou wilt bless all of this work. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt help and bless and undertake, Lord, and intervene in this war. Lord, you can stop it in a moment if it's your will. And thou art in control of every situation. And so we leave it with thee. And we pray for answers to prayer. For thou dost raise up men and thou dost pull down others. Lord, again we say, thy perfect will be done in this matter, this day. Hear us now, we pray, and answer prayer, and be with us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Returning to the hymn, I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Saviour. 461 is on the screen, and it's in your hymn book as well if you have a hymn book.
Well, boys and girls, we're back at our story again about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the temple. And of course, he went up with his parents at that time. You remember the story as we were telling you it over the past number of weeks. Just 12 years of age, boys and girls. And where is he? They can't find him. They're looking for him. They're searching for him. But eventually, they find him, boys and girls. They find him. And where is he? He's in the temple. He's amidst these doctors, these learned people of his day, these people who have great knowledge. He's there and he's hearing them. He's hearing what they have to say. He's asking them questions. And here's the one who knows all things. He knows everything, boys and girls. And here he is. And he's asking them questions. And he's hearing what they have to say. And boys and girls, we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ is found by his parents. They eventually find him in this place. And when they questioned him and they said, "We have sought thee sorrowing. We have searched for thee for 3 days. We couldn't find you." You know what he said to them, boys and girls? "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, boys and girls, from the very first, the Lord Jesus Christ was engaged in service. In service. He was serving. He was serving. And boys and girls, what an example of service the Lord Jesus Christ has set before us. An example of serving his Father in heaven. And boys and girls, God has given us a work to do, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that wherever we are, whatever we're doing in life, that we give time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you serving Jesus in your school? Are you telling your friends about Jesus? Are you letting them know about the Lord Jesus? That's an important thing for you to do, boys and girls. Not only by what you say, but by how you live your life before your friends, so that they know that you're a Christian, if you are a Christian. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, and if you haven't, I trust, boys and girls, you'll ask him into your heart today. He was serving his Father. They were searching for him. They were sorrowing about him. And he was serving his Father all of this time. And boys and girls, he went back with them. And the Bible says he was subject to them. In other words, he obeyed his parents. He obeyed his parents. And boys and girls, how important that is for you to be subject to your parents, not to be disobeying your parents. The Bible says in the 5th commandment, we're to honor our father and mother. We're not to disobey them, we're not to talk back to them. We're not try to be smart when they tell us to do something and disobey them, but we are to obey them. That's what Jesus did. And so he left us an example of service. He left us an example of being in subjection, of obedience to his parents. What an example the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. In all that he did, in all that he said, in all that he was. Boys and girls, he has left us, the Bible says, an example that we should follow in his steps. But most of all, that you know him personally as your Savior. And then you can follow on to know the Lord in your life from day to day. And next week it's question time, boys and girls. So we'll have a wee bag and we'll be looking for your answers to see if you've been listening over the past number of weeks about this story. And we'll have some goodies in the bag. So you listen now and hope you've been listening the past number of weeks. And then we'll give you the goodies if you answer the question. Otherwise, I'll go home with all the goodies next week, boys and girls. And you wouldn't want that. Sure, you wouldn't. You'd want to get some of the prizes for yourself. And we're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls. Rolled away. We'll sing it through twice. Rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And we'll do the actions as we sing it through.
Burden of my heart, roll away, roll away, roll away.
We're going to read from the Word of God this morning from 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And let us hear the Word of God as we read it from verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed them the place. And he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, infallible, inerrant and inspired word this morning. We do bid you welcome in the Lord's name, the house of God this morning. If you're listening in as well, we bid you welcome. You remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings. The Gospel Evening Service at 7, our series in Mark's Gospel continues in chapter 6. Jesus can meet your need. And that's the theme tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ can meet your need. Our sister, Mrs. Vivian McCoy, will bring messages and songs. Do come and join us again this evening. Brighter nights are coming in, and we encourage you to come out and to join us even tonight at 7 p.m. Remember the season of prayer at 6:30. The after church for youth meeting tonight at 8:30. All youth are welcome. I'll be speaking myself, and the subject is transgenderism, and that's a very important subject in these times. And so remember, please, young people, encourage others to come, and come yourself tonight at 8:30 after the evening service. And then Monday, the Sunbeams, Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers continues from 10:30 to 11:30, and the Iwana Club 6:45 to 8 p.m. in the evening. At 8 p.m. on Tuesday, Miss Joy Gillespie will be along to speak to us. On Saturday evening, clocks go forward 1 hour as we enter the longer evenings. Please remember that for next Lord's Day. Next Lord's Day at 10 a.m., the Sunday school and the morning prayer meeting at 11, the family worship service 11:30, followed by the communion service for all who know and love the Lord. And we're still doing the communion as we have been doing, and there are extra cups available if you need a replacement or haven't got a cup for the communions. For all who know and love the Lord as their Saviour and Lord, remember that, please, next Lord's Day at 11:30, following the 11:30 service. And then the evening time, it will be the Family and Friends Night Service. Our sister Deborah Swandell will be along to speak the work she's involved in the streets of England. She was with us at Christmas, but because of illness, couldn't. But she's going to come next Sunday night, God willing, and speak to us about her work. And there will be a basket at the door if you wish to contribute towards the work that she's involved in. That's next Sunday night. Do remember this service and invite others to come. And then next Saturday, the last Saturday in March, the 26th, Consider Christ Outreach in County Cavan. If you're interested, please contact Reverend Jonathan Crane, who is coordinating this. Remember all who are sick at this time, those going through treatments and recovering from illness, especially do remember our sister Mary, is now in the hospice. Do remember her and pray for her, and pray for her husband and family at this time. Remember also our sister Nessie. She was returning to her own home tomorrow, and do pray for her. And I know you'll offer your prayerful and practical and personal support over days to come, which will be no doubt very difficult for her. So remember her and her family at this time. Our sympathy too to the Hannah family, to Brian and Sandra, the loss of their aunt, and also to Isa and the loss of her sister. We commend this family to the Lord and pray that God will give grace and comfort. They have a lot of deaths and a lot of people passing away in recent years, and do remember this family at this time, please. Remember our 40th anniversary services. You may have got the leaflet on the way in this morning. A variety of services, 3rd of April with the moderator, Reverend John Armstrong, with us in the morning time. In the evening time, Reverend Whiteside, first minister of the congregation, will be with us. And then on Tuesday, the 5th of April, the special praise service, when Dr. William McRae, Dr. Fred Greenfield and others will be ministering in song. Dr. McRae will be the preacher. And then Sunday, the 10th of April, the second minister of the congregation, Reverend Derek Irwin, will be the preacher in the morning. And then in the evening time, I will be the preacher, the Lord willing. Do remember these services and those who minister in song. We will have a long, God willing, at one of the services too, our brother Sam Houston, to minister in song. And we look forward to renewing fellowship with our brother Sam again as he comes to meet with us. Do you remember the Easter Convention is returning in person. Meetings on Friday the 15th of April at 8 p.m. with the missionary youth theme. And then on Easter Monday evening, not the afternoon for this year, just gradually starting it back again. So it's an evening service on Easter Monday. Do remember these services and put them in your diary and think about them and come along and join with us, please. Do remember the services too, or the brethren and sisters in Ukraine and the need there. We've been keeping you updated of what's happening, and you know the gravity of that situation. But thankfully, aid is getting to people, and we've tried to show you that, where your money's going and how it's going out and getting into the hands of people. And so do remember that work that our brother Donald is engaged in and others, and pray for the Lord's blessing upon it. We hope to have at the anniversary services on the Sunday night, the first Sunday night, some light refreshments. We haven't had any light refreshments for 2 years, so we're stepping forward, as it were. And so we'd ask the ladies involved in the groups and any other ladies who want to wait, if you feel you can't do this yet, we understand, please. Don't feel obligated to do it, but we need to meet you immediately after this service to make some arrangements for that. That's Sunday the 3rd after the evening service, when tonight Mr. Whiteside will be with us. So please remember that. If you can help in any way, we'd be glad your assistance immediately after the service this morning. We're going to join in the singing of a hymn, 112. It's in the hymn book there and on the screen. In the cross of Christ thy glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all this light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. And we'll stand as we sing together. Let us bow together in prayer.
Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. The basis of the message is found here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. The subject today is the recovery of the lost axe head. The recovery of the lost axe head. It is yet another one of the miracles that was performed during the ministry of the man of God, Elisha. A man upon whom rested the double portion of the Spirit of God. The story of the raising of the lost axe head is one of miracle and restoration. And thank God he is still able to perform such miracles in human lives. In this incident, Elisha typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The sons of the prophets typify Christian workers. And the axe head speaks of the use of power, the anointing and enabling of the Holy Spirit, without which all of our servants will be ineffective. Here then is a message for all who have known the power of God in their servants, but have become ineffective and out of touch, who have lost their cutting edge, who have backslidden from God, and who have wandered away from the Lord. The recovery of the lost axe head. I want you to see here, first of all, in the first four verses of this passage, a pattern to be approved. Here we have a pattern of wholehearted servants. A picture of what Christian servants and servants should be. First of all, you will notice that they were the sons of the prophets. Verse 1, or disciples of Elisha. And the first qualification for all Christian servants is a relationship with the Master. Have you a relationship this morning with the Master? Have you a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior this morning? The second thing we notice here from verse 1 is that they dwelt with Elisha. And here is the idea of fellowship and communion, which is essential to Christian servants. The Bible speaks in John chapter 15 and verse 4 of abiding in Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And the Christian abides in Christ. We are linked to Christ. We are in fellowship with Christ. We are in communion with the Savior. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, they were in communion with Elisha. And then we discover also that they were burdened about the need for service. Let us go, verse 2, they said, we pray thee unto Jordan, and take thence every man a bean. And let us make this a place where we may dwell. And so they recognized the need that there was. And they were anxious to become involved in the work of God. Have you a burden for service this morning? As a Christian, you want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to get involved in the work of the Lord? You want to put your hand to the gospel plow? These servants of the Lord, that's what they wanted to do. And you will notice that they were commissioned to do service. Elisha said to them in verse 2, go ye. And the great commission to all of us is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. The great task that is given to every Christian is to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God has given us a commission this morning to work and to labor in His vineyard. Go work today in my vineyard. And then they realized their dependence upon their master. Look at verse 4. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. The master went with them. You see, they were unprepared to undertake the task without him. And the Lord teaches us in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 5, without me ye can do nothing. How powerless they were without the master. And how powerless we will be without the Lord. The arm of flesh will fail us. We dare not trust our own. Oh, it's possible for us all to have great enthusiasm, and that's something great to have. To put in great effort. And to employ much energy. But we have no might, we have no strength, spiritually speaking, unless we have the Lord with us. And unless we know His power in our Christian lives from day to day. And we discover that they all joined in. They said, let us go. Verse 2, let us go. It was a collective response to the need that there was. They were all prepared to engage in the task. There was no holding back or dropping out. All of them put their hand to it. Put their shoulder to the wheel. Is that our mindset this morning? Are you saying, as far as the work of God is concerned, let us go together, collectively, all of us together, moving forward to do the work of God? Another thing about them, they were energetic. You'll notice in verse 4, so he went down with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They were equipped with the right tools for felling trees and the work of building. And how vital it is that we're willing to put our energy into the work of God. There is no room for slackness or laziness. I tell students who come into the ministry, I tell them, if you're lazy, this is not the place for you. There is no place for laziness in God's work. I'm sure, even in ordinary employment, there is no place for laziness either, although it does happen. And it happens in the ministry too. Laziness was not something that was manifested here. They joined in. You remember Nehemiah in his day? The Bible tells us that the people had a mind to work. That was their mindset. They were going to put their hands to the work. And all of them, when you read through chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you'll discover all of those names. Maybe you've avoided that chapter. Maybe you haven't read it because of those big names. But they all had their place. That's what that chapter's about. They all were involved. They were all engaged in the work. All of these people's names that we find it hard to pronounce. But they were all involved in the work. May the Lord give us that mind. That with all of our energy, we will use the tools that God has given to us to get His work done. And to see to it that the Lord's work goes forward and is furthered for His glory. And so here in the scripture we have a pattern to be approved. But then secondly we have in the scripture a peril to be avoided. Look at verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. One worker lost his axe head and the sharp cutting edge of all his servants. Without which All of his effort was useless. He didn't lose the handle. From a distance it might have appeared that all was well, that he had all the equipment, that his equipment was complete. But it was not complete, because the axe head had been lost. That which was vital had been lost. That which was most important had been lost. The cutting edge had gone. And you know, the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If we haven't got the power, then all our efforts are in vain. All our efforts are in vain. How foolish it would have been for him to have gone on working all of that effort, all of that energy, even all of that enthusiasm, all of that sweat, but no cutting edge. Maybe you could picture the scene. And maybe you've seen it for yourself, and somebody trying to cut sticks or whatever it is, or a tree with an axe. Suddenly the axe head is gone. And you look at them and you think, are they going to continue here? And then they're keeping going on and they're employing all of that energy, but they've no axe head. It's absolutely futile. Absolutely futile. And how foolish it would have been for this man to go on with no cutting edge. He was working well, but gradually the axe head slipped down the helve of the axe into the water. It was a gradual process. And my friend, all backsliding is a gradual process. He lost his power and his effectiveness gradually. And notice, my friend, first of all, he lost his power while he was working. He was engaged in the work. And yet he lost his power. It's possible to be busy. And in the midst of our busyness, to lose the power and to become totally ineffective for the Lord. Maybe even he was working too energetically. He was putting all of his effort into it. But he had lacked the power of God. And my friend, so often we can do God's work in our own strength and by our own effort. The power of God is missing. What he lost was borrowed. He said in verse 5, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." You see his lament here. He was deeply grieved because he had lost his axe head, and then because it was something that had been loaned to him for his effective service. And you know, my friend, the power that we have to serve the Lord is given to us by the Lord. Power belongeth unto God. It's only through the Lord working in us and through us that we have the power to be effective in our service for the Lord. He says, "Alas, Master, if it was borrowed." And he was conscious of his loss. He realized what had happened. Something dreadful had happened. Something awful had happened. And the borrowed axe head had gone. You remember Samson in Judges chapter 16. In verse 20, "And Samson thought he could still do as he had done in the past, have the same power, have the same effectiveness in the Lord's service. But the Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him." He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Are you conscious of your loss today? You've lost the power in your Christian life. Lost the power, the effectiveness of witness for the Lord Jesus. He was conscious of his loss. He was deeply distressed about his loss. You can see here, imagine you had borrowed an axe head from, or an axe from your neighbor or someone else, and you'd lost the axe head. You would be annoyed, you'd be distressed about it. How much more ought we to be distressed when we've lost the cutting edge to enable us to do the work and service of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You remember Job in Job chapter 23 and verse 3, he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Have you lost the axe head this morning? You used to know that power resting upon you, power to pray, power to work for God. But now you say, even with the hymn we were singing, or we will sing shortly, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Think of what Samson must have thought when he'd lost his power. Oh, he thought he could arise as at other times, but the power had gone. The power had gone. He lost his sight. He lost his liberty. He was in the prison house. He was bound with fetters of brass. But then at the last he cried, Judges 16:28, remember me, I pray, and strengthen me. He lost his power. Lost his power. But thank God there's a way back this morning. The story assures us here that you may be restored and reinstated and re-equipped for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that it may be so with all of us today. The Bible speaks here in the third place of a procedure to be adopted, verses 5 to 7. In the passage, you can read it for yourself. And the procedure by which the lost axe head was recovered is there before us. And here's this young man. He's frustrated. He's fearful. But he made his way immediately to his master and put his case into Elisha's hands. And my friends, the only procedure that believers have today who have lost the cutting edge of the Spirit's power in their lives can follow is to go directly to their heavenly Elisha, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For the Lord has the answer to your plight this morning. This young man could have attempted to recover the lost axe head by himself. He could have fished in the muddy waters of the Jordan in an attempt to get his lost axe head. But no, my friend, he went to Elisha. Again, this young man could have tried to borrow another tool to get another axe head by which he could do his work. But deep within him, he was aware of his responsibility to recover the lost axe head that had been committed to him for service. There could be no substitute for that. Or again, he could have given up entirely and gone home discouraged and despondent and cast down. He might have thrown in the towel and left others to do the job. And said, what's the use? But no, straight away he went to Elisha with his need. The person he went to. And my friend, you need to get to the Lord with your need this morning. Get to the Lord. Get to the Lord. He is the one who can meet your need. I want you to see not only the person he went to, but the particulars here. First of all, the first particular is that there's an admission and acknowledgement of where the axe head had been lost. The place, in other words. And the man of God said, where fell it? Verse 6. And this inquiry must always precede recovery of lost power. There must be the searching investigation. Where fell it? Believer today, are you bemoaning lost power? Tell me, where fell it? Where did you lose it? Deep within your heart, you're aware of lost blessing. And even now, you can point to the place and the map of your spiritual life and say, there is where I lost my power. Did you lose your power in the fast-flowing river of worldliness? Then you will recover your power with God and with men when you acknowledge just where you lost your effectiveness for God. Did you lose your power in the current of self? Whether it be selfishness, self-centeredness, or any other of the tributaries of self? Is that where you lost your power?
Once again, you will recover your lost power only when you reckon yourself to be dead. Crucify self, my friend. Self must be crucified in order for you to reclaim and regain the power that you've lost. Did you lose your power in the mud of impurity and iniquity and immorality or dishonesty or some other sin? Then recovery is possible only when you take your stand against evil and sin, and you have done with sin. If you are desirous of recovering lost power, you will have to admit before God just where you lost it. Where did you lose your power, my friend? Where did you lose it? You'll have to point out the place. It may involve shame and humiliation, but go through with it, friend. If you want God's blessing, there can be no shortcuts. There can be no halfway house. Some people want to push a button and get blessing. It won't happen, friend. It won't happen. It's God's way or no way. Let me be straight about it, friend. The place. Notice the path.
In the recovery of the lost axe head, we have the addition and application by Elisha of the stick of wood. Verse 6. Stick of wood.
Look at what it says. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Once shown the place where the axe head was lost, the prophet Elisha proceeded to cut down a branch of a tree and threw it into the river. And the action of the prophet resulted in a wonderful event, something miraculous, something supernatural. The iron, contrary to the laws of nature, floated to the surface. Now you go down to any river, you throw an iron in. You'll not see it, friend. You'll not come up again. But the Bible says the iron did swim. A miracle. Now, the particular lesson from the action of Elisha here is surely this. The recovery of the lost power can be accomplished only through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, was cut down in death. He was cast into the river of death. Paradox though it may be, it is his death that alone is able to deal with the law of sin and death in the life of the believer. Able to counteract the law of sin and death in your life and mine. The wood in the story here may here well represent the cross of Christ. God's power for man's weakness. God's power for man's weakness. And thus we may state a fundamental law of Christian experience and service that any claim to power that is not based upon Christ's death is both spurious and erroneous. There can be no recovery, my friend. Let me repeat it. There can be no recovery of lost power until the law of the cross is operative and regulative in the life of the believer. Finally, we note in the recovery of the lost power, it needed both action and appropriation. Look at verse 7. "Therefore said he, take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Here's this young man. In his desperation, he goes to the man of God for help. And God intervenes in a miraculous manner and causes this axe head to come to the surface again. But he has to take it. Has to put it in his hand.
You know, there are people who want to analyze things. Everything has to be analyzed. We'll have to analyze this. But he didn't analyze it, friend. He appropriated it. It was not the time for explanation of reason, but rather for the exercise of faith. That's what he did. He exercised faith. And likewise, we must not stand on the river's brink attempting to understand all the inner workings of God's power. God works in a mysterious way, friend. You can't understand God's working. You say, why is God doing this? Why is this happening? Friend, I don't have the answer. People ask me these questions all the time. But friend, God works in a mysterious way. God is in control. He works it all out. And He'll work it all out. And friend, we must seek to appropriate the divine supply to the fullest extent possible. We may attempt to understand the theory of heavenly power and yet know nothing at all of its practice and performance in our lives. There's a work to be done. Work to be done. We can hear of the activity of others as they fell the trees and break off the branches. But let's take hold of the axe head this morning. Let's get at the work. Let's exercise faith. And to act in faith in this way was a humbling experience for the son of the prophet. For probably others were watching on. As he bent down very low, as he put in his hand, and as he took back that which he had lost. Perhaps there were those who had ridiculed him and reviled him because of what had happened. But now he humbles himself. And he takes back the lost axe. Puts it back in its place again so he can do the work that he'd been already involved in previously. What a glorious thing it is when, having failed the Lord, we're prepared to take these steps back to the fullness of blessing. May God give us grace to do so today. I thought, in conclusion, of the words of Hosea. It's a book about backsliding. If you haven't read the book of Hosea, you will see that as you read it. As the Spirit of God opens it to you, but in the final chapter of Hosea, I'm not going to read all the verses, but I commend the verses to you. Verses 1 to 7 of chapter 14, final chapter of Hosea. It says, O Israel, verse 1, return unto the Lord thy God. Take with you words. Verse 2, Lord. And the Lord says, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Verse 5, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread. Verse 6, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, his smell as Lebanon. You see, God will cause his people to repent. And God will heal their backsliding. God will renew them again. Give them back the lost power. And cause his blessing to be on his people again. That's what happened here. The case of this young man. And maybe you're sitting here today or listening to this service and you lost out big time. And you know well, if you'd face up to it, you've lost out in your Christian life. It's time to address it. Time to address it. Be a man, be a woman this morning, be a young person. Face up to it. Get back to where you need to be. That's where this young man got back to. May God help you to get back this morning. If you've wandered, may God restore you today to the joy of his salvation, the recovering of the lost accent. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, apply thy word to every heart, we pray. And Lord, may it be a blessing to all who have listened this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing the words of that hymn, and we've quoted some of it earlier there. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. And we'll stand and sing this hymn.
together before we have our closing prayer this morning. The ladies could just meet downstairs, maybe a few minutes. When I come back in again, we'll speak to you then just for a few moments. We'll not delay you long. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll separate us now with your blessing. Spread now thy covering wings around till all our wandering cease, till at our Father's blessed abode we who are saved arrive in peace, for Christ's sake. Amen.